Welcome to Executive Shine, Conversations That Count. I'm Jeannie, and I'm with
Jill.
And we're here to chat with you tonight. We are passionate about using media to exploit some of the really amazing things going on in the world. And tonight, sometimes we have some special guests, and we're going to tell you more about one that's coming next week. But tonight, I wanted to talk with Jill. Our conversations are going to be sometimes safe, sometimes they may land in a little bit of a dangerous territory, but I promise you this, they will be conversations that count. And so in talking to Jill this week, I said, can we have some time, just you and I, just to chat about a subject matter that's near and dear to my heart. In corporate America for over 25 years, Jill's a CEO running her own business for over 33 years. Between us, we've got over 55 years of experience, and we've seen some things. We've seen some things and some patterns over and over again. And the one I want to hit on tonight, Jill, is about the opportunity. We talked a little bit about it last week with epigenetics with Melissa, but it's kind of like going from here to here. You don't always have to go one step at a time. Occasionally, you can actually have a quantum leap in your results in life, whether it's relationships, money, business. But what holds us back so much of the time is putting on this mask of perfection. Where does this whole business of thinking we have to have everything perfect and we've always got to be getting ready to get ready come from?
Absolutely, Jeannie. I've seen that my whole career. And one of the things that I say, you know, and my passion is human connection. And one of my principles is that there is no connection in perfection. And I think that's true, whether it's perfection with yourself, you know, in your relationship with yourself, there is that acceptance of who you are, where you are, that you need to be able to start from that place and not just beat yourself up and hold yourself back by expecting yourself to be perfect. But within relationships, I tell people all the time, they say, well, I need to present my image and I need to look so good. And I said, you know what? Do you connect? Who connects with you? The real person who comes across as authentic and connects with you from a place of their heart and real authentic presence, or someone who's all put together and has everything perfect. And every time they say, oh, I feel so much more comfortable with the person that's authentic. And so even in nature, it's true that there's not any connection in perfection when they're grafting seeds and trees and things like that. They get them raw and ragged, and that's when they make that connection. So I think that's so true. And if we can support people to feel comfortable being who they really are in all aspects of their work, I think it just makes such a difference. They're 100 times more effective.
I think that I fell into that trap. I fell into the trap of thinking I had to have this perfect and look this way and be this way. And I had one really hard, well, I had several, but one of them that stands out now, 16 years ago, I had a hardcore lesson on that. I had picked up three departments. It was my first senior executive position. I had picked up three departments that were running very poorly. They weren't communicating well together. Turnover was at an all-time high. Everything that could be going wrong was. And I walked into my first boardroom meeting with these departments. And what I saw equivalent was something that I would see at a barroom brawl at closing time. So after the meeting, I shut the door and thought about the fantasizing about becoming a Walmart greeter. Well, I didn't. I stayed and I knuckled it out, and we had some hard conversations, but they were conversations that count. And we really built trust. And I realized something. Trust is the single most important entity that affects a company's bottom line over everything else is trust. And so I made a really poor decision. I thought it was good at the time. I'd built trust 9 months into it. Our turnover was down. We were coming like a well-oiled machine. And then I made a financial decision that ended up not serving us. And I knew that I was going to have to walk in the next day in the meeting and tell them. So I looked for somebody else to blame. To the right and to the left, there was no one. I looked for a way I could avoid bringing it up and maybe shove it under the rug and not even talk about it. And I realized I would they're going to know anyway. But the thing that killed me the most was I knew when I walked in the next morning, I was going to lose their respect. And I had worked so hard to build it. And so I hardly slept the night before when with sweaty palms, I walk into the boardroom and I'm like, I just had to get it out. I couldn't wait anymore. I just need to get it off my system. And I said, you know what, guys, here's what happened. I made a decision based on XYZ. It turned out that this wasn't going to be, it turned out not to work out because of ABC. So here's how we're rerouting and renavigating course. And I explained everything to them. And when I finished, it was dead silent and I knew I'd lost their respect. And then one said, you know, that's okay. We all make mistakes sometimes. And another said, you know, and one by one by one, they shocked me because they rallied around me. That day, what they taught me was people are going to forgive occasional mistakes and slip ups, especially if we fess up when we mess up. They don't give up. They don't forgive slips in character.
Absolutely.
I had a chance to lose their trust that day, and I thought I was going to, but I actually gained it because I didn't hide my mistakes.
Absolutely. That's one of the foundational principles, even that I grew up in it. I remember my mom saying, if you lay an egg, stand back and admire it. So own up to what you do. And I think that people respect that because it's so rare now to take responsibility for your actions. And people, one of the things I think that they learn is that once they do that once and they see how far it got them, just like what your story just was a beautiful example of, that they really do start to earn people's trust and they learn that being authentic really is the mark of a true leader.
I think it requires, though, getting out of our own heads and hearts a little bit and getting over our egos, because I can't connect with people when I'm an ego because I'm too busy proving myself. But I think it was Brené Brown. She said perfection, shout out Brené. She said perfection is a 20-ton shield that we carry around thinking it's gonna protect us. But in fact, it keeps us from really being seen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In my business, I've seen executives come in and they carry that when they come in. And if you can create the environment like we do for them to feel safe and just put that mask of perfection down in the chair next to them and be recognized and acknowledged for just being a great human being, not based on their accomplishments, just based on who they are and what they need right now. And I think when you can meet people where they're at, then that's when you start to really build relationship and build connection. And it's such a relief for them not to have to carry that. Because it's what we're taught, right? I mean, in business, coming up and growing up in the corporate world, you're taught you need to look a certain way, you need to behave a certain way. They don't teach you if you're vulnerable, real, and authentic. That's when you build trust.
You know, you hit on something really powerful to me. I actually have been working for several years now. I'm trying to find it really quickly to show you because it's that powerful. But I've been working several years now on building my speaking opportunities. And one of the mentors that I work with, he said, you know what, Jeannie, perfection, people will admire you from a distance for your perfection, but they'll love you up close for your failures when you're willing to share them. Okay. And he says, he actually said, that they connect with you at a level that is unparalleled when you're willing to be real. And he had an example of that. John Maxwell did in Everyone Communicates, Few Connect, where there was a speaker, and I'm going to find the letter while we're on here tonight and read it to you. But it shows the power of taking ego away and bringing in the, what do you need that's in front of me right now? What do you need that we can make it work? I mean, I've had a lot of opportunity to get over myself because I've made a lot of mistakes, and I've become increasingly less uncomfortable with looking foolish. So that's really actually to my advantage, although some people might think I'm not taking myself seriously enough at times. But, you know, just yesterday, last night, what was I doing complaining to you? And shout out Cindy Cork, my favorite eye doctor in Alaska, because why? Here I am, this executive, trying to have this professional show. I could have said, Jill, we need to wait weeks. Last week, people, if you look at our last week's show, we had an incredible guest, Dr. Melissa. My lighting sucked, but the show went on. This week, I still haven't figured out how to turn off the eyebrow filter on Zoom. So if I move, these things go all over the place. So listen, tech is not my thing. So, and there, anybody that can show me how to get rid of these bouncing eyebrows, I'd really appreciate it. Because if I were trying to be perfect, we wouldn't have done the show tonight, would we?
No way. It's so funny. And that's when people connect with you. That's when you build relationship with them because they realize, wow.
Wow, she's messed up.
She's just like me. Oh, it's awesome.
And I had an opportunity. Oh gosh, was it a week or two ago? How long ago was it that I had that other faux pas?
Oh, couple weeks. Oh yeah, please share.
I actually had an opportunity to meet with an investor who I have so much respect for this individual. And right before we had our meeting, sometimes I'll pull my hair up in this little messy bun, and I didn't have time because I was busy in other Zoom meetings. I don't know about you all, but I'm having Zoom fatigue, 2,500 Zoom meetings a day. And so I got off the other one, like, oh, I don't have time to get ready. And I put on a different shirt, and then rather than pull my hair, fix my hair, I had one of those messy bun things you can buy from Amazon that you can put in like a ponytail holder. So I put it in. I'm like, dang, Jeannie, you're looking nice. You could wear this out to a black tie event. You're ready. So I get on the call. All's going well. I got my swag. I'm talking professional. And then halfway through the meeting, he says something funny. And I tilt my head back in a laugh. And I come back and the bun's not with me. It had fallen across the room, and I'm like, oh, I just want to crawl in a hole and die right now. So you know what I did? I did what every honest woman does. I suddenly went like this and acted like I was meant to fixing my hair and that it was supposed to happen that way. And you know who you are if you're watching this right now. You might have missed that moment, but I'm confessing, you know who you are. You were in the room.
Oh, it's so funny. I was talking to someone else and she texts me, my hair has just hit the wall across the room.
Oh yeah, I did. I text you on that. I'm like, this is not a good night. This is not a good night. But I tell you what, being real really does matter. And when John Maxwell took me through this incredible training, when he took me through this incredible training through Roddy Galbraith, our speaker, and in his book, Everyone Communicates, If You Connect, he's got a letter called Dear Speaker. And Dear Speaker was basically about somebody letting go of their ego. And basically it was, here it is, found it, finally. It's worth the wait. It is worth the wait, I promise you. So, it tells me about, here we go, Dear Speaker, what happened was I had just finished this training, 2 years into my speaking engagements. I was at corporate doing a speaking engagement after I'd finished the training. And one of the physicians who'd been in my training said, you know what, Jeannie, you've always been pretty good, but you're so much better now. What happened? Dear Speaker, your ego has become a wall between yourself and me. You're not really concerned about me, are you? You're mostly concerned about whether or not this speech is really working about whether or not you're doing a good job. You're really afraid that I will not applaud you, aren't you? You're afraid that I won't laugh at your jokes or cry over your emotional anecdotes. You are so caught up in the issue of how I'm going to receive you, you haven't thought much about me at all. I might have loved you, but you are so caught up in self-love that mine is really unnecessary. If I don't give you my attention, it's because I feel so unnecessary here. When I see you at the microphone, I see Narcissus in his mirror. Is your tie straight? Is your hair perfect? Is it falling out in the middle of a Zoom meeting? No, that was an add-on. You seem in control of everything but your audience. You see everything so well, except us. This blindness to us, I'm afraid, has made us deaf to you. We must go now. Sorry. Call us sometime later. We'll come back to you when you're real enough to see us. After your dreams have been shattered, your heart is broken, after your arrogance has reckoned with despair, then we will be room for all of us in your world. Then you won't care if we applaud your brilliance. You'll be one of us. There you will tear down the ego wall and use those very stones to build a bridge of warm relationship. We'll meet you on that bridge. We'll hear you then. You'll be joyously understood when you reach us with that understanding. Sincerely, your audience. So I went through this training on Everyone Communicates, View, Connect, and I do a 2-hour workshop on it now. And then I went back to corporate and I did an event, and this physician said, you know, you're a lot better now. And I wanted so badly to tell him some Swiss or German name of some great training I just been to. But I said, boy, I would love to give you a fancy answer, but I just got done reckoning with my ego and it was pretty painful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But one of the things I think you just touched on there that I think that the doctor who said that to you, that he felt, was that when you spoke, he felt seen. And I think that that's the really critical thing to connect with people, is that when you're engaging with them and communicating with them, that's the point of connection, is seeing them for who they are and being able to work from that place to connect and then move forward and showing up as who you really are, so that you create the space for them to feel safe in that environment.
You know, I think creating safety is not just a good idea because it makes everybody's hearts warm and fuzzy. There's a scientific, evidence-based practice will back me up on this. When you do that, what ends up happening if you manage that professionally and well and right, what ends up happening is instead of people covering their backsides and, you know, making sure their keisters are not in trouble, instead of people looking to the right and to the left to see, oh gosh, who can't I trust now? Who's going to throw me under the bus? When you're living that way, whether it's at home or at work, you've got no energy to create and innovate and do amazing things. But the opposite is also true. When you're living the other way and it's safe, all this opportunity to collaborate as a team, all this opportunity to have teamwork that counts, to have conversations that count, to have leadership that counts, blossoms and comes alive because the energy's freed up to be used to innovate.
Absolutely. You know, I put that in my Shine Principles course that I just put together, because I feel like that is so important. And creating that trust, seeing people where they're at. And I heard a really amazing discussion between Brené Brown and Jim Collins. And he talked about trust. And he said, trust is actually, when you trust people on the edge of their capacity, that's when you're really, really empowering and supporting their growth. And so if you can believe in them and make them feel like you are their biggest fan and you support them no matter what, and you see potential in them that they don't even see, when they feel that support, they perform to the level of expectation. And that really creates relationship and that builds long-term connection with your organization. So if you can develop people to the best of their capacity and they can grow and they can recognize that you were the one that really believed in them and that can help them get where they want to go, that's why they're committed to you and they're committed to the company, because you appreciate them and you are the one that saw their potential and developed that. And that creates loyalty. That's why, I mean, for me, I have no turnover in my business and everyone asks me, how do you do that? And so utilizing all of those skills, seeing people, honoring people, trusting people, developing people, all of those things I think are critical to building your good team.
I agree. And you have had incredible retention with your people. I want to talk about the debunking, because I just want to make sure we're clear. Being real and being vulnerable doesn't mean there are vulnerability without boundaries is no vulnerability at all. You know, there are boundaries in place. Being real and being vulnerable doesn't mean putting all your junk out there. It doesn't mean airing all your dirty laundry. It means taking risks and braving ourselves to uncertainty. It means opening ourselves up emotionally. That's much more courageous than trying to put on a mask of perfection. It takes courage to show up as who we really are. And it takes courage to show up as who we really are with our imperfections, even embracing our imperfections and learning to manage them. So I think one of the myths out there about vulnerability, and if you'll speak to this because of it, how it relates to your Shine course, is that vulnerability is weakness.
And it's actually just the opposite. Vulnerability takes massive courage. And that is what people, I think people don't understand about it. And courage and vulnerability that's a muscle. You're not just born with that ability and you have no trouble being courageous no matter what happens. You have to build that little bit by little bit by little bit. And you develop that within your organization by showing up and being what you want to see within your organization. So when you demonstrate courage and you demonstrate the right kind of vulnerability with them, then that's when they give themselves, it goes back to what you were talking about, perfection and permission. That's what gives them permission to develop their muscle, their courage muscle, their vulnerability muscle as well.
I had a boss give me that permission. Not all that long ago, a CEO, actually in a conversation at a dinner event, I asked this individual, so tell me, what are the number one qualities you look for in leadership? And he named 7 of them. There were 40 people in that room. He named 7 of them. And he said, I am strongest in strategic development. Out of the 7, I'm weakest in humility. That's why I do this, this, and this every day to remind myself I'm no better than anybody else. Then he turned into the room and looked at me in front of 40 people, 2 levels below him. And he said, if you ever see me operating out of humility, you have every right to call me out on that. Wow. It was one thing to say that. It's another thing to say that in front of 40 other people in the room. But you know what he did that day? Not only did he earn my respect up 2 notches, but he taught me, he role modeled what he wanted, and it made it safe for me to do the same with people that I'm working with.
Absolutely.
So I really appreciate that. There's nothing like reading about it in a book, but there's even better, nothing like seeing it firsthand, you know?
Absolutely. You have to be what you want to see. And what a beautiful example of that. And it's rare now for a leader to be able to say those things. And now I think we're moving into a new era of leadership, because what we've been through the past year has shown us different things about ourselves than we ever thought we knew. And we've had to communicate and connect in completely different ways because we weren't able to be physically close to each other. So we've had to develop new ways and new levels of connection and new levels of courage and of vulnerability. And so, and I think that adds meaning to your work. And I think people have seen so many things happen that they don't want to just do the average business anymore. They don't want to be just a cog in the wheel. I had a fascinating discussion with a gentleman from the UK a couple weeks ago, and we talked about the shift in business and just the evolution of man, and how when you started out in tribal, you had an identity and you were the medicine woman, you were, you know, all of these different things. And as you evolved in the small business in a small community, you might have been the shopkeeper or the blacksmith or the seamstress, but you had an identity, something you were passionate about. And then as the Industrial Revolution evolved, you became a cog in the wheel. And as corporate America developed, you just became a number and you just became a statistic instead of a real human being making a real impact, making a real difference. And I think what I've seen in business over the past year is that people aren't willing to settle anymore for just being a statistic, just being a cog in the wheel. They want to make a difference. They want to be recognized for who they are and what a unique impact that they can make within an organization. So I think as a leader, now you need to up-level. You need to see people even more deeply than you've ever seen them, which also comes from seeing more things about yourself and being really honest with yourself than you've ever been, to be able to have the capacity to see people and really bring out the qualities in people that are really going to not only evolve your vision, but evolve their vision and bring them along in it as your partner and not just a number, a statistic, a cog in the wheel. I think people really want to have identity and value.
Yeah, they do. They do. And in developing ourselves, it requires learning what coaching is and isn't. And there's a lot of misinformation about coaching out there. And we know we're doing it right when we're empowering people to go next level in their thinking. And we're helping them discover the answers for themselves. And we're taking an investment in them. That's not going to change. I mean, that's not going to change the assembly line way of leadership. Coaching is not telling somebody what to do. It's helping them discover they have the answers. And unless we can get on board with that, we're probably going to phase out pretty quick, because you can actually manipulate people through fear to do something a certain way for a short period of time. But that strategy is not sustainable. Your results are going to end up in the toilet, and your financial bottom line is going to be making giant sucking sounds. It never works long term. Never works, you know? And so we were talking about this not too long ago. You know, your date book doesn't lie, your financial statement doesn't lie, your checkbook doesn't lie, and your yoga pants don't lie. Those are certain guarantees in life you can have. And if we look at all of those things minus the yoga pants, we can pretty much tell how much trust is a factor going on. If you sit in an executive meeting and for an hour and just observe, watch how carefully versus vulnerably the team members talk to each other. You can tell a lot about how a company is going just by that. And the most effective strategy for business today is getting a team all rowing in the same direction. You know, you need to make sure you don't have to worry about looking to the right and to the left to see who needs to plug holes because they're, you know, creating a water spout in the ship while nobody's looking. If you do it well, and if you build a team right, here's the most beautiful part about that. They're going to hold the team members accountable. The values on the team are going to be such that for excellence and trust, they're going to hold each other accountable. It's not all going to be up to the boss. Like you said, the hierarchical days are gone. And part of that is gone in terms of investing in people, but it's also gone in terms of holding people accountable.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this has been a vibrant discussion on taking down the masks and showing up as who we really are, whether our eyebrows are overinflated. I'm still looking for help. Anybody that wants to send us tips on my eyebrows so I can get this Zoom thing down, because listen, I'm a trained professional. I don't want you trying this at home. Anybody that wants to send us tips on how not to let your hair fall out, your fake hair in the bun fall out in the middle of a meeting with an investor, I'm open to that as well. But you know, we've got some exciting things coming up. I would love to share them all with you now. Jill's the master connector. And we've got some exciting things coming up. And some of them are people that have just made monumental world-changing difference in the Codes of Longevity book that Jill's one of the authors with. Jill, why don't you tell us a little bit, give them a sneak preview of next week's guest.
Well, next week's guest is actually going to be a international speaker and coach named Michelle Barnes. And she is not in the Code of Longevity book with us, but she is an extraordinary human being that really has a powerful impact and knows how to build teams around health-related programs. And so we are so lucky to have her, but we're also going to be having some special guests who are talking to us about such things as the neuroscience of happiness.
Oh, that's going to be so much fun.
And some doctors that are going to talk to us about the art of flow and about leadership and the heart connection and how all of these things impact our health and impact the neuroscience and all of these things that go into living a really full and vibrant life that you love, not just living long, but living well. So I'm excited because we have so many amazing guests coming up. So this is just going to be really fun. And I really believe that when you recognize the incredible gifts that people have, that that's what inspires you, gives you a little tip like, wow, I can add that. You know, I can implement that one little thing that could really make a difference in my organization. So that's what we're committed to, is bringing that type of information in a fun way. You know, you can't have a conversation without Jeannie without laughing. So we want to build, you know, relationship and entertainment. We call it sometimes entertainment. And so that you enjoy learning and seeing different things and different ways that people, different perspective that people have to be able to enhance the things that you're doing within your organization as well.
So as we wrap up today, talking about the mask of perfection and bringing vulnerability into the workplace, give me two tips that you would give the listeners on how they could consider something quick and easy they could implement to head in that direction.
Well, my favorite thing is to have a discussion with your people. Learn about appreciation styles. Implement appreciation. Just go to work tomorrow and give an authentic, heartfelt compliment to each person that you encounter that day. And look at the difference that that makes in their relationship with you. And it's got to be heartfelt. But so I take that to another level. People ask me all the time, how do you not have any turnover? And I have to go back to one word, and it's that I love my people. And I find different ways to honor them. So in addition to giving them a compliment, appreciate something they do and tell them how much that means to you and what a difference that makes and how they impact your company in a positive way. And just those two little things can shift your relationship with your people in an extraordinary way. What tips would you give, Jeannie? I know you have millions.
I would say, don't wait for fear to subside. It can seem scary to put yourself out there a little bit. And if you're like I have been at times, you want to wait for the fear to subside before you act. Girlfriend, homegirls, homeboys, you got to do it. You got to do it with the fear. Feel the fear and do it anyway. I promise you, you're going to expand and grow and learn in ways you can't imagine just by taking action. We can sit here all day long and read all these books. We can have all these seminars we go to, and it doesn't mean you know what, unless we're going to put some of it into action. And it doesn't have to be big and complicated. It doesn't have to be big and complicated at all. So be willing to say, here's where I messed up, or here's where I had a learning experience. When I was looking for success, I got a learning experience instead, because sometimes we win and sometimes we learn. And that's what I have to say. I've enjoyed this conversation. And you gave me the idea just a minute ago with your answer on what our next one's going to be. We're going to be talking about the five languages of appreciation in the workplace and how they show up the next time we get together, you and me. And next week we have a guest, but in a couple weeks or in a month, you and I are going to be hitting on the five languages of appreciation, how to find which one your person has and how to meet them where they're at.
Absolutely. Makes all the difference in the world. Makes all the difference in the world. This was so much fun. And next week, we're going to have Michelle. She's going to talk about how to plan an extraordinary year. I just went through a goal setting workshop with her. It was the best I have ever had. And I have had 30 years of experience in that area. And she was extraordinary. So I'm really looking forward to that. So how to make your next year your best year in every area, and look at all of the different things and how that can come together, and you can make a plan that you feel great about every day. So I'm really looking forward to that. She's a lot of fun. So that's going to be great, Jeannie.
So until next time, I hope that you all find a way to engage in a conversation that counts. Thank you.
Take care. We love you.